There you go. It's 8:11 now. It's time for our semi-regular feature, Read the News Slowly. As we go back to a story that Kat did in the last newscast.
Read the news. Yep.
And we're going to have her read the story slowly. So that this can really sink in. Going back to that pretty much last story that you did, having to do with the impact of Hurricane Sandy.
Okay.
Upon those of us who are not being impacted at all by Hurricane Sandy.
All right. Tell me when.
Well, just, I think anything after the soundbite, if you just want to read that. This is how we will be affected by Hurricane Sandy.
Okay.
You're on.
He says
whoever
a storm
he is.
This catastrophic yep. can't be covered by only raising premiums on people who are directly affected.
Got that? Okay. We all get to share in the fun. Because people in New Jersey can't afford to pay for it, they're going to let people in other states do that. Go ahead now.
Okay. He says the increase won't be much.
Okay, let's define much. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
I mean, much to him and much to us could be different, but go ahead.
And we may not see it for a couple of years.
Oh.
But he says that this is a normal practice.
Well, of course it is. Of course it is. See, there's only like two insurance companies, okay?
Okay?
You understand? And then what they do is they share the risk with each other.
Uh-huh.
They kind of overlap because obviously one company, if there is a catastrophic situation where there have to be lots of claims, they have to kind of sell that risk off. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You can't have it all yourself. So they all share the risk. I think like Lloyd's is one of them, and I don't know who the other is. But they pretty much interlock when it comes to the really, really bad stuff. Hello?
No, I'm glad you brought that up, Scott, because I've never really understood that about insurance companies, how, if I'm 3 days late, they cut all the coverage and want me to pay double and triple, but then when it comes time for them to pay out, they act like they don't understand that they shouldn't have to and cry about it.
Yeah, I understand. Thanks. I don't know that they necessarily triple it, but the idea is it's a shared risk and because this is happening and it's so widespread, they just feel like the larger the event, the larger the pool needs to be to share in taking care of the amount of money that they are having to pay out for that. So, once again,
won't happen this year. I mean, if that's the way it's set up.
Yeah.
Really, if something happened to us, shouldn't they also... They would pay into our needs.
Oh, without a doubt, there'd be people. Right, there'd be people in Oregon who would be doing that as well.
So I mean, if we're helping other people out, if we would want to help them anyway,
Go ahead.
No, I mean that's.
Oh, this. There, the insurance company is helping us. Then do that. Is that it?
No.
They're sharing. They're helping us share in the risk.
I'm just
making
saying,
us feel better.
Well. It doesn't mean that I'm, oh boy, let's pay extra money.
Yeah.
But wouldn't they help us, the people in the other states in the north,
if something destroyed the south? The insurance company's making sure that they do.
We were all paying for Katrina.
Yeah, hello.
I promise you that.
Yeah, they can use, they can offset the cost with all that tourism money they're going to make off the shuttle.
There you exactly.
I just remember
now, right back at him.
I remember being angry last year whenever Grimes County caught on fire.
Oh yeah,
and the president denied getting
the
helicopters that would have helped put out our fire.
Yep,
wouldn't let them come to Texas.
Yep.
So I don't know. I try not to be a bitter person, but
well, and again, you believe that those people would help, but here's the federal government.
I mean, I hope they would. It doesn't mean they would.
But the federal government, who should be on the cutting edge, the leading edge when it comes to helping out those people who can't help themselves, the president was busy. Yeah, he decided not to do that. Yeah, politics sometimes does rear its ugly head as well. So last couple of mornings, I've AMC is having their Fright Fest, okay, where they're doing nothing but scary movies, all right? Now, probably the genre of movies that I like the best are really, really horrible science fiction movies. You know, like Plan 9 from Outer Space.
You mean horrible as in cheesy or horrible
As in cheesy, yeah. Like Plan 9 from Outer Space was my all-time favorite.
Oh, wow.
And many people, would agree that that's
Ed
one of the worst
Wood.
Made. Yeah, one of the worst ever made. But the last two mornings, I've been able to capture a part of these movies that, I mean, like yesterday morning I got up and that movie was so terrible, I walked in and I turned on my DVR just to capture the end of it because I just needed to know how it ended. And it was called The Brain Eaters.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Were these people using neti pots?
No, and it starred Ed Nelson. If you remember Ed Nelson, who was an actor for years, who's retired. He's about 85 and lives in Louisiana now. But what happens is, I mean, you know, these little things, and they eat your brain. They plug their, they stick, you know, holes in the base of your neck, and they eat your brain or something. And the idea is, how are they going to finish this off? And amazingly, I mean, there's 4 minutes left in the movie. I don't know how it's going to end, and suddenly Ed Nelson comes up with a way to kill off these brain eaters. And, you know, that was great. And then this morning, this one was so terrible I didn't even capture it. It was from 1958 called How to Make a Monster. And what happened is the guy who is the head of the makeup department at American International Studios is told new owners are coming in and they're going to fire him. They're going to eliminate his position because they're not going to make monster movies anymore. So what he does is make some kind of a solvent to put on the faces of these teenage stars so that they become monsters in real life.
So
he kills people.
Cobbles his own monsters
exactly.
together.
It's what he did. He did that so that they would go and kill the people who would do him in. How to Make a Monster. I mean, and again.
It's an interesting premise.
Well, it is.
Sounds like a comic book plot.
Well, yeah. The Brain Eater, they shot in 6 days, by the way. So that was pretty good. And I'm looking at Internet Movie Database for How to Make a Monster. And 377 people went to the trouble of voting on it and gave it a 2.5-star rating. So it is. I mean, it's just, I love that. You know, I'll capture that stuff, and Jackie comes in while I'm watching. She shakes her head and turns around and walks out. Because, I mean, it's just great. It is so bad, it's good. And these poor people who want to be actors are in it, and they can't deliver a line to save their lives, but at least they got a chance to make a movie.
That would be like calling me an actor.
Good. But, I mean, see, there are people who want to do that.
I don't know. Having been around theater departments and now having worked in a radio station,
yeah.
Just the other day I was thinking that actors and radio people seem like very similar animals.
Well, we could be, but the thing is, radio people generally interact with the general public a lot more than actors do. You know, actors live in that...
I don't know. See, I thought radio people were kind of isolationist,
antisocial, yeah.
Working in a box.
That's just Scott.
Yeah, that's just me. That's the other people. Other people actually get out and talk to people. I, on the other hand, don't do that very much. But, yeah, I don't know. I just I saw an interview yesterday with Christopher Walken, who tries to make himself off as normal. And I don't believe that.
No.
I'm not believing that. So
did you see the thing about Lucasfilm being sold to Disney?
Yeah, we were going to get to that, but we can do that now. $5.08 billion.
What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, it's the mouse. What do you want? They want to make sure that they've got as much diversity as possible. And, you know, George Lucas has gotten to make the movies he wanted to.
Does it sound like more opportunities for horrendous Jar Jar stuff?
Well, if people,
they're making
people,
three more.
Yeah,
that's no.
Yeah, they are. They're going to make three more Star Wars movies for people who want to see that. And you know,
see,
and
I love Star Wars, but I just like the old ones.
Well,
I really don't like the new ones very much.
See?
I'm more excited about what they're going to do at Disneyland and Disney World.
Oh, now that is a cool idea.
All right, what are they going to do?
I don't know.
Oh,
I'm just
oh.
thinking about what
just
they
the
could
idea.
Do.
Oh.
With,
yeah.
with the idea of the rides that they already have in those parks, you know they'll create a whole theme area. And more importantly, for this Irishman, I could finally go to that alien ball.
Oh, there you go. Now, and one of the things, of course, that Disney used to do, don't know that the new Disney, the new mouse, is going to do this, but what Disney was able to do before was they would recycle their product. They would bring it back about every 7 to 9 years.
Oh, they still do that.
Because they can gather in a new market. Well, but the thing is, availability of the product is changing all the time. So that now, you know, you can get it, you can find it, you can capture it, and you might not need to go back in and recycle and become a buyer again. So I don't know how that will change. And again, that they got marketing people. They're smart. They'll figure out how to maximize the dollars. Don't have to worry about that. But you can bet that they're going to come back and obviously try to drag everybody through the initial Star Wars again. And the other thing that this gives them, which Disney has always been great at.
It's like you're equating it to mud.
Well, I am. But it's licensing. I mean, we will see so many more licensing opportunities. And granted, Star Wars, that that
that was the first one that ever really did the whole
that franchise really did. And you know, Disney will come back and they'll find another way to do it. You know, the classic case of Disney is Winnie the Pooh, because Winnie the Pooh had been around for a long, long, long time, obviously, but it wasn't until Disney got the rights to it that they really started marketing this thing. And, you know, now you got the Pooh Everything's out there. And yeah, that's just, that's Disney. That's what they do. They do that kind of stuff.
Oh, this is good music.
This is that scene.
It is.
The Star Wars Cantina scene.
Well, again, you know, and that's really creative stuff. And that's the other thing about Disney, at least when Walt ran it, was, you know, he didn't necessarily pay his people the most money. It was the idea of being on the cutting edge of where things were going. And, of course, you got Pixar in there. So when you put together, you know, Pixar, Lucasfilms, and Disney all together.
Apple, and Disney will own everything.
They will. I think that's it. Is Disney wants to be the seat. There may be only three chairs there, but they want to have one of them. And they figure Google will be the other one. Yeah, then that'll end up being those two basically controlling the world as far as our entertainment. And, of course, it'll be Procter & Gamble and Unilever that'll own everything that we take into our bodies and clean our houses with. So, yeah, that'll be just fine.
I think we've solved all the world's problems.
Oh, sure we have. It's 8:22 right now. A new survey has found that the baldest guys work in sales. I'm going to go post this back there in the sales pavilion. Yeah.
There's only a couple guys that are even thinning. Me and Tucker are the baldest guys here.
That's right. 60% of sellers say that they have lost their hair, or at least have started to, because of the stress of their job. Most say that they had a full head of hair when they started. Well, yeah, but it's over time as well.
Just like sellers, Roger Maris.
Sellers are number one on the shiny head list, with web developers second, followed by software engineers. Hair loss affects 40% of men under the age of 35. Now, again, to go back to reference Christopher Walken, because I just saw the interview with him yesterday. Johnny Depp, I think, told him, what you need to do is yank on your hair every day for 5 minutes. And if you'll do that, it loosens up your scalp. Have you ever heard of such a thing?
No.
As a woman, no, I've never heard that.
Yeah, well, but again, he's got a great head of hair. I don't know how old he is. He's probably, in his late 60s?
Well, part of it has to do with genetics.
Most of it is genetics.
It has to do with if your mother's grandfather had a full head of hair.
But then again, if you want to just yank on your hair, I guess you could probably do that as well. All right, it's 8:23.